Thank you. Good morning, BCEC. Good morning, friends. Insert daylight savings time joke here. That's right, you get that like in an hour. All right, we've got a little bit of traction, a little bit now. I'm so glad to be here with you guys this morning. My name is Calvin. I'm one of the ministers here at BCEC. And honestly, I'm really excited to be sharing this morning's passage with you because, and God in His infinite wisdom just aligns these things perfectly because we're talking about rest. We're talking about Sabbath today. And it just so happens that today was the day that we spring forward, so we all lost an hour. So either some of us might still be sleeping, some of us might wish we were still sleeping, and maybe that's a common occurrence. Maybe we often feel that, right? Maybe it's on a Sunday. Maybe we're just like, it's like the earliest day we have to get up. We're just like, I just wish I had more rest. Or maybe for you, it's like, when Sunday night comes, right? And you're just like, I just wish I had one more day where I could rest. I just feel like, when you're younger, I feel like you're like, what's the next thing? I want to do something active. And now that I'm getting older, I'm realizing more and more that this idea of rest is really this commodity. And then when you just rest on its own, I'm not even talking about Sabbath, when you add in this concept of a Sabbath rest, especially if you're a part of the church, it can really, really feel like this incredible burden. Or this unicorn that we're trying to find, but we feel we're never going to obtain. And I think the responses that we have to Sabbath can range. It can range from, yes, being very, very legalistic about it and be like, no, this is the thing I must keep. And, our thoughts are like, oh, you don't even Sabbath? Are you even saved? Or you feel like, oh no, like I missed the Sabbath. Am I even saved? There's like that legalist side. And there's the other side that's just like, I know it's in the Bible, but I know it's more of like something that's not prescribed. It's more of a suggestion. It's really more, Jesus came and he saved us from that sort of burden. And I find that we have this very wide range combined in with, I think, all the things that we feel about, just desiring more rest. But I think that Christians, because we have this complicated view of the Sabbath, I think we either take it too seriously or get the wrong idea or we tend to miss, I think, its significance. So what we're going to look at today is what is the Sabbath? How are we going to get into that? What is God's commandment to take a Sabbath? And if we come to this point where we see it as something that, okay, maybe we should do it. Okay, I think God commands us to do it. Hopefully, as we look at today's scripture, we will see the deeper well that we can draw from to put aside the things that get in the way of us seeking that Sabbath rest. So with that being said, let us pray. Father God, indeed, there's a lot to do in our world. And God, because we are in this, the day of the church, God, very often we don't know exactly how to understand this thing called the Sabbath. So God, help us this morning. Open our eyes. Help us see the truth that lies within your scripture that you are revealing to us right now. So that we can do the things that you command us to. But not just do the things you command us to, but do them with the right motivation, with the right heart. And God, I know that that's not easy in any area of anyone's walk with you. But God, we know that that starts with you. So God, as we come to you, bless us, help us understand. Get me out of the way, God, and so that we can feel the full impact of your word this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're actually going to be talking about three things this morning. The first thing we're going to talk about is, what is the Sabbath? Right? We're going to read this passage in Mark that we've been kind of going through the book of Mark. We'll look at what is the Sabbath. What is the command that God gives to us? This next thing is, why should we Sabbath? Right? What's the purpose of the Sabbath? You know, we hear about it and we read about it in the Old Testament times, but and we kind of know what to quote unquote do, but what's the motivation? What should be our motivation? And finally, how do we actually do it? How do we actually keep a Sabbath in the right way? Well, avoiding the dangers and pitfalls that many others have faced in the past as well. So what Sabbath, why Sabbath, how Sabbath, if you want to, just the shorthand of it. So what is the Sabbath? Let me start by reading the passage. We're in Mark chapter 2. We're going to read from 23 to 3:6. But I'm not going to read it all kind of all at once. I'm going to read it in these chunks for us. But I'm going to start in Mark 2:23. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and take it out. We do have the bulletin. If you have your phone or an iPad or a tablet or something, you can swipe to it too. That's okay. So let's look at what is the Sabbath. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain, and the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And so what we have here is we've got this concept of the Sabbath. And again, I'm not trying to falsely advertise. I know this isn't exactly explained to us what the Sabbath is. To get the fuller idea of what it is, we actually have to go to other parts of the scripture. So if you don't have a Bible, maybe pull your phone and go to like a Bible website, because we're going to read a little bit, a couple chunks of text. If you don't have a smartphone or a Bible with you, then just, I guess, listen carefully, because we're going to read what God tells us about the Sabbath. We're going to be reading in Exodus 28 to 11. So we're in Exodus 20. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." And you swipe or turn the page to Exodus 31. This is God talking to Moses, and he's talking about the Sabbath. Exodus 31:12-17. So Exodus 31, verse 12. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you, and you shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.'" So what is the Sabbath? We kind of looked at it. We saw a little bit in Mark, like that this is a high stakes thing. People really cared about the Sabbath. Why? I mean, if you read passages like this Exodus 31 passage, that's a huge deal. If you do not take this rest, you shall be cut off. You will be put to death. And it's so emphasized that it actually is brought up multiple times. It's actually brought up twice in that Exodus 31 passage that you shall be put to death if you do not keep the Sabbath. If something were to happen to me like right now and out of the collapse, I would tell you that's, you know, maybe you feel that tension. You go, "Oh, like, I haven't been keeping a Sabbath. Like, is God lurking around the corner to, like, end my life because I have been breaking this commandment?" Because maybe you care about God's word. And if I were to, something would happen to me, I'd collapse here, I'd say, keep reading, go back to your Bible. That's the story doesn't necessarily end here. But you can see why the Pharisees back in that in Jesus' time would care so much about it. I mean, the penalty was death. So when we read in Mark 2, this is one Sabbath, when they're going through the grain fields, they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees, this is really interesting. We think about it, the Pharisees. So there's a lot of rules about the Sabbath and a lot of rules that were kind of written that are outside of the scriptures. But basically people began to say like, okay, well, what's the boundary for the Sabbath? So some things were like, you couldn't start a fire. You couldn't, basically the only thing you could do was to save life. And actually it was so extreme. And then one of the commentaries that I read, if a building collapsed, you could take people out of the building if they were alive. You could break the Sabbath to save life. But if there was no survivors left, you actually had to leave them until after the Sabbath. Imagine that. So again, they took this thing very, very seriously. So that's why the Pharisees, who, by the way, do not necessarily have any authority to police these rules. They were kind of like a self-appointed group that said, we are going to take these things very seriously, and we're going to kind of police and watch everyone. And they, because Jesus has gotten, it was kind of in the center of a number of other controversies leading up to this, they're following Jesus. And actually, one of the Sabbath rules is you couldn't walk over a certain distance. If you walked over a certain distance, you would technically have been breaking the Sabbath. So I don't know how far away these Pharisees were walking, but I could just imagine the scene. Jesus and his disciples are kind of like walking through the grain field. His disciples are kind of picking up some heads of grain and just kind of shucking them and eating them. And then, you know, I can imagine like in a bush, the Pharisees like, gotcha. Like popping out. I gotcha. You broke the Sabbath. You guys are in so much trouble. Jesus, do you see what your disciples are doing? Do you know what today is? Today is the Sabbath, and they are working on the Sabbath. So basically, they're trying to build this case against Jesus and his disciples, saying that they didn't care about the law, they didn't really care about God. They were this kind of this ragtag, you know, almost band of rebels in their mind because they didn't follow the law according to how they, you know, how they saw it. So which, you know, so again, you see it, you kind of feel that tension, and then. The controversy is that Jesus actually doesn't come out and say, you guys, though that their disciples, his disciples were out of line. If you look at the text, he doesn't actually say that. Let's see what he says. He says, verse 25, back in Mark. So Mark chapter 2, verse 25. And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him. How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. So again, Jesus doesn't say, you guys are way off. They are not, you know, breaking what you would consider as a traditional Sabbath. Jesus does what Jesus very often does. He's pressing on their beliefs. He's testing them. Because they're in their minds, they're saying, there's a scripture here. You know, maybe they wouldn't have called it Exodus. You know, they would have just said the scriptures. They would have just known that book. But he says, you guys are thinking about that. But remember this passage. And then he's actually talking about a passage in 1 Samuel that where David, he was on the run. He had been appointed king. He was on the run and from Saul, who was the actual king, and David wasn't king yet. And Saul wants to kill David because he's jealous. So there's this need, he goes to the high priest and he's like, look, I need food. Right? You know, me and those who were with me were hungry. He goes, and so that's actually what Jesus is referencing there. He's referencing, look, have you never read what David did? And when he says that, what he's saying is, he's saying in the 1 Samuel passage, this thing that David did was a greater offense technically than what he and his disciples were doing. They, for David and his people to eat from the bread of presence, that was held exclusively for the priests. Basically, if you weren't a priest, you couldn't eat. If you guys want to know the scripture passage, it's a 1 Samuel 21. 3-6 is kind of what that is. He says, look, you guys have to understand this. What David did was worse than this, yet God did not condemn them. So here you are looking at what I am doing, and he's saying, look, this is like that. This is like that. And I'm going to go into a little bit further why this is more like that, but he's saying, look, this is like that. God didn't condemn David or his men. Why are you here condemning me and my people for a much lesser offense? And then Jesus absolutely drops the hammer, and this is, we're going to spend a lot more time talking about this sort of thing. Verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was not for man. Sorry. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So Jesus then, he says, look, you guys understand it. He's like, obviously you guys understand scripture. Obviously you've read it. And you've seen that. What about David? Look at this. This is like my situation. And yet God did not condemn David. And here you are condemning me and my disciples. And he explains. He says, look, the Sabbath was made for you, not you for the Sabbath. How the Pharisees were seeing the Sabbath was that this yoke, this weight that they had to put on so that they could almost earn God's love, earn God's favor. Say, like, I am a serious member of Israel. And we're going to talk a little more about that as we kind of get to the third point. But they were putting on this incredible weight. And Jesus says, look, no, you guys are misunderstanding it. The Sabbath was for you. So before I move on, I want you guys to know that. The Sabbath was made for you. This rest that God invites us to is made for you. It's something for you to look to do, because it's supposed to be good for you. Like all of God's laws, like all of the things that we read in the scripture that God calls us to do, as hard as they may be, as maybe backwards as they may feel, it is good. It is for your good. And the Sabbath is certainly one of them. And Jesus' response probably shut them down, because there's nothing recorded. Either it was a really weak and pathetic attempt of a response, or they were just like, okay, well, they kind of shrunk back down into the bushes or something. You get that like in an hour. Now that we kind of understand the what Sabbath, the why Sabbath is so much more important. Because if you leave here, you know, some of you are going to feel like, okay, I guess I need to take the Sabbath. I guess I need to clear out a day for me to rest. You're just going to go and you're going to rest however you would think that you would rest. But the why is so much more in purpose. So our second thought is, what's the purpose of the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath was created for resting and refreshing, but in order for us to remember God's creation and redemption. So yes, there's rest there, but as a part of the rest, we rest so that we can remember. We rest so that we can look to God, remember his creation, remember his redemption. Here's how we see this. We have to go back and think about the Sabbath and these folks' time and the original intent of the writer. Let's look at Mark 3, verse 1. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with a withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. So, just to kind of continue the story in your mind, this is another Sabbath. This is another Sabbath. This group of, self-appointed policers of the law are still tracking Jesus. And Jesus now, instead of having them react, he goes. I mean, they look at him saying like, hey, look, there's a man with a withered hand. Jesus, we know that he heals. Is he going to heal? Let's watch. Let's see if we can have another accusation against him. So that's what happens. And you know what? The best way for me to think about the Sabbath, because I think that the Pharisees here, they miss it. The best way to think about the Sabbath is this. Mother's Day, Father's Day. What's the point of Mother's and Father's Day? Yes, and some of you who are cynical is like, oh, well, it's just a way for Hallmark to sell cards. And, you know, for the flower industry to sell flowers, the candy industry to sell candy, for, I don't know, the tool industry to sell tools for Father's Day. I don't know. I think if you think with the heart of what Mother's Day and Father's Day is, we're supposed to take a day to stop, to rest from our normal routines so that we can what? Remember. We can remember our mother, remember our father. Maybe you don't do that. We'll pray for you. But it's the point of us is to stop from our normal routine so that we can remember the good that we have experienced from our mother and our father. And that's what the idea of the Sabbath is. The idea of the Sabbath is that for us to stop from our normal routine so that we can reflect and remember on the goodness that our Heavenly Father has shown us. And that's the pointer of the Sabbath rest. God tells us, and if you, I should have told you to keep a finger in Exodus 31. If you look at that, actually in both of the passages, if you look at both of the passages, it says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to your Lord, the Lord your God. It's this pointer. It's not just, God isn't just randomly choosing, one day you will rest. I mean, I could give you 2 days, but that's probably too much. You're getting, you know, you might be a little lazy, so I was just gonna give you 1 day. No, God is using this as an example for him. He's saying, look, I, in my creation, I created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, I rested. I want you in your Sabbath rest to be like me. In your creation, in your work, in your studies, work 6 days, but the seventh day you shall rest like God. He's calling us that Sabbath is to look back, remember. So every single time we're supposed to think 6 days I work, but 1 day I rested. That's what God did. It's that idea to remember. The Sabbath is this marker of God's creation. But again, if you look and you think about where the people who were around Jesus' time were thinking about the Sabbath, they were also thinking of a future Sabbath, a future day of rest. Because the people of Israel had experienced incredible oppression. You open up your Bible, you will see, and by the time they got to Jesus' time, they had gone through lots and lots of oppression. So when they thought about the Sabbath, when they were supposed to take the Sabbath, they were also supposed to think to the future day of rest that God had promised. The day that there would no longer be oppression, there would no longer be pain, there would no longer be suffering. Sabbath was a practice in that, seeing that God would come and he would give us that eternal rest. And the people of Israel give them the eternal rest that they so desperately sought because they're so oppressed. So the Sabbath is both of those things. It's looking to the original Sabbath, God's original Sabbath at creation, but also the future Sabbath in the days to come. So again, that therefore is our motivation as well. You want to take the Sabbath? Look back and look forward. See how, and between these two poles, God has been faithful. God has been creative. God has been redemptive. That is the heart of the Sabbath. That is our motivation. Which is why Jesus responds, it just very brilliantly. I love it because look at verse 5. Let me read that one again. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus was angry. Why? Because it's like, it's not just like a Sunday school question, you know, and then no one knew the answer. He's saying, like, if you really cared about the Sabbath as much as you say you did, you would have seen creation. You would have seen redemption. And then it would have been obvious when, to answer the question, is it lawful to do on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? It's like if you really followed the Sabbath, it would have been easy. Duh. It's to do good and to save life. Obviously, Jesus. But because they don't say anything, I think it reflects that they kind of knew what the right answer was, but they knew that how they were living didn't line up to that answer. Hence, they didn't say anything. And that's why Jesus is so upset. Jesus is so mad. Because not only did they not get the Sabbath and not get the heart of Sabbath, they were just focusing on what to do and not the heart of it. The Pharisees were also pushing their wrong view of the Sabbath on other people. The Sabbath was a command that was specific for Israel. It was something that God said, like, you, my people shall do, and it shall separate you and your neighbors, essentially. And he said, as you're separated, you're supposed to be shining, be a shining light onto them, pointing them to me. But how the Pharisees saw it, they saw that you were using the Sabbath like a weapon, basically. Like a dividing line. Say, hey, look, do you keep the Sabbath? You don't keep the Sabbath? You must not really care about the nation of Israel. They were using the Sabbath like a wall to separate them and us. It says, hey, if you aren't on this side, if you're not doing this thing, you aren't with us. And if you're not with us, you're against us. They were using the Sabbath like this. So that's why Jesus is so frustrated. He's like, no, no, no. He's like, you're supposed to be shining a light, making the world around you be lifted up, be pointing to me. Instead, they were using it to separate them. Nope. Those are the non-Sabbath keepers. We don't talk to them. We don't deal with them. They're not our kind. So God, when he calls them to keep the Sabbath, he says, look, I want you to shine my light onto the world. And they said, but they used the Sabbath. They said, like, we are the special. We are the children of light. You guys are in darkness. And then what Jesus says next resets the whole idea of the Sabbath. And I think our faith in general, actually. So let's keep reading. Let's read 5 again. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. So how do we keep the Sabbath correctly? We keep the Sabbath correctly by focusing on Jesus. By focusing on how the God created, through the Sabbath was a sign that God had created and redeemed. And together, this part is so good, you guys. And I hope by God's grace that you guys can hear this. Think about this. Jesus comes into the synagogue. He sees the man with the withered hand. He knows the Pharisees want to get him in a trap. It's almost saying, like, Jesus, I dare you to heal this man. And because again, the idea for the Sabbath, you could save life on the Sabbath and that would be okay. But his withered hand, that could wait till Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? So it's this trap. And then they say, well, what are you going to do, Jesus? Because if you're really good and, you know, this great, like if you claim to be God or whatever, you would heal him if you were good, right? Because that's the opportunity that you're faced with. But if you really care about the law, then you're going to wait until after the Sabbath. So then Jesus comes in. He sees him, knows he's there, knows the situation, knows the Pharisees, and he says, you, come here. And he asks them the question, what should I do? Should I do good or should I do evil? Should I heal or, take life? And they don't have an answer. And Jesus, in his frustration, says, here, you, stretch out your hand. He calls him to stretch out his hand. This man, and that, he does that because this is all about the Sabbath. They've been following him, they've been tracking him about his attention and care about the Sabbath. This is about the Sabbath. So he says, look at this man. And he wants everyone to do it. Again, there is probably, there's a lot of shame-based, it's a shame-based culture similar to, you know, maybe a Chinese heritage. So if you had had some sort of disability, for you to show it to everybody. That would have, could have been incredibly embarrassing. And not just that, you know, very often they would see things like, you know, disabilities or anything of that sort as a sign of God's favor not being with you. So when God calls him to do this in front of everybody, he says, I want everyone to see this. And for this, he's asking this man to take a step of faith. Because if nothing happens, it's just gonna, everyone's going to look, that's the man with that hand. So when Jesus calls him, he says, look, this man, God created man, and he created man very good, but sin came into the world and corrupted it. And this man's hand is a sign of the sin that is in our world. And he says, stretch out your hand to this man. Take this step of faith and stretch out your hand. And he says, I want everyone to see. I want everyone to see what's about to happen, because when they see your life changed, they will see me. Jesus says, they will see me. And they will see who I am, what I came to do. And the man does so, and he is restored. And that, in that one instance, embodies the Sabbath. It points to creation. God created man very good. Sin came in, corrupted it. Jesus comes, restores, redeemed this man. And he's saying, you guys want to make a big deal about the Sabbath? This is the big deal about the Sabbath. Reflect on this. Remember this. This is the point. He's pointing to himself. And I didn't talk about this verse yet because this is the perfect time for it. In verse 28, Jesus says, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's saying, you guys want me to make a big deal of the Sabbath? I'm the big deal about the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the point of the Sabbath. If you're Sabbathing and you're not thinking about Jesus, he's like, you guys miss it. You guys are totally going to miss it. So what's this mean for us today? If you think about it, if someone had done something incredibly miraculous, like if I had done something incredibly miraculous up here, like if I started flying or something, you'd be like, whoa, you know, someone might take out your phones and start filming it and put it on YouTube and then we'd go viral. That'd be cool. And we might want to like celebrate. Whoa, like Calvin can fly. Like, who knew? Like, that's awesome. Like, Calvin, like, can you go fly to the store to get us some chips or something? Like, that would change how we lived our life. We would remember that. We would almost want to celebrate that. If something miraculous, like an incredible healing happened, we'd be like, wow, praise God. That would be our natural response, I think. Even if you're not a Christian, I don't assume all of us here are Christian. Even if you weren't a Christian, you saw someone like whose life changed for the better, they were healed of something, you're like, wow, like I don't know what the hell was all about, but that was amazing. Yet, the Pharisees who were in Jesus' presence, they don't have that response. They don't respond in a way of praising God and celebrating. How do they respond? Verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Immediately went out and said, how are we gonna destroy this guy? Because this is out of control. So what does this mean for us? If you are resting, make sure you are resting in Jesus' creation and his redemption, knowing that the victory is already in hand for all in Christ. Knowing that should give you the greatest rest of your life. And knowing that will help you remember you can afford to give up even one day to reset in him. Knowing that will help you rest in a way that shines your light on your coworkers, your classmates, your neighbors, your friends. And that invites them to do the same. And if you're not resting in Jesus, you run the risk of being like the Pharisees. Jesus could be working right in front of you, doing something incredible, but because you're focused on something else, you're focused on what's quote unquote right. How you look, you're focused on the fact that they're doing something wrong, and you're not focused on Jesus. you might miss him working right in front of your face, right in the middle of your life. He just wants you to recognize that he's calling you to something. He's calling you to himself. And because you're focused on something else other than Jesus, you're missing it, just like the Pharisees. And I don't want that for you guys. I don't want that for you guys. And that's why I'm so excited to share this with you, because it's not just about rest. The Sabbath rest is not just about taking a day off. It's about stopping from our normal routine so that we can reflect, think about all that Jesus has done. So if you are here and you're a Christian, it's both easier and harder. It's easier because you know the language. Okay, I'm supposed to stop and reflect about Jesus. Like, I know Jesus saved me as a wretched sinner when I was still enemies. I know that I need to reflect on that. But it's also harder because it means you got to remind yourself of that. You have to change your life. You have to live in a way where you see the miracles and the amazing things that God is doing, and you celebrate. And you take that day to remember. If you're not a Christian, it is, I guess, the same thing. It's easier and harder. It's harder because you have to, God is calling you to stretch out your hand. God is saying, take this leap of faith. I'm calling you to be changed. I'm calling you to the redemption that the Sabbath is all about. And that's hard. Because what the world says. Because what you've experienced. But it's also easier because if you take that step of faith, you reach for that restoration, then it's easy to remember because it just happened. So I invite you, if you are not a Christian or if you are a Christian, then this has a huge implication for how you live your life. I don't know if you guys know this, but we're in the middle of Lent right now. And, you know, the Protestant church, oh, no, not the Protestant, non-denominational churches like ours, we don't have many traditions. Actually, we technically don't have any churches. The non-denominational church does not have any traditions. That's non-denominational. It's not committing to any sort of thing like that. We don't have any traditions, but I grew up around a lot of Catholics, and I think that there's like an increased interest in Protestants, like kind of taking on more of like historical Christian tradition. And Lent is one of the things that kind of comes up. So, and if you don't know what Lent is basically a time for Christians to sacrifice and take a break from something that is usually good. So if it's like, it's not saying like stop sinning for, you know, the 40 days, but it's actually just usually sacrifice something that's usually good so that we can reflect more on Jesus. So it starts on Ash Wednesday. Well, we've missed that. So if you've missed it, if you've missed Lent, and I would say you're in luck because Lent starts today for you. But instead of thinking about what do we give up for Lent and what do we stay away from, I would say for this season, I mean, never mind the whole Lent idea. In this season, as you're reflecting this, and if you want to take this seriously, instead of giving up something, dive in. Dive in fully to who Jesus is. Really get to the heart of, okay, what has Jesus created? What has Jesus redeemed? You can look at the grand history, you know, of the whole salvific history, and you know, that we read in the scriptures, but also in your own life. You know, instead of giving up something every single day, maybe you reflect, maybe you write one thing that you're thankful to God for, that you want to remember when, and if you choose to, take that Sabbath day so that you have a list of things that you can thank God for as you're taking that rest. John 1 tells us, I think, something that's really, really helpful for both Sabbath but life in general, because really the Sabbath should just be a reflection of where your life is headed anyway. If your life is totally different and you show up on a Sunday or Saturday, whatever you take for a Sabbath, if they're totally different, then you're not going to keep that Sabbath consistently. But John 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were being made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was light, was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In those few verses there is a reminder of who Jesus is, what he has done, and what our lives and our Sabbaths are supposed to reflect on. His creation, his redemption. The redemption that he won for us with his blood, dying on the cross for our sins. So let's make that our Sabbath and our life's reflection. Let's pray. Father God, as we've looked at a number of scriptures, God, thank you. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us, that this call for Sabbath is not just another thing for us to do, which so many people have done. And God, as we see the Pharisees who are in this today's scripture, God, they did it. And I'm sure we see lots of people who do it too. But God, nor should we not take it seriously. Because in this call for us to Sabbath, this is this reminder for us to rest in you, remembering all that you've done for us and for the world. God, I don't know where every single person in this room is. God, if they follow you and they're distant, they follow you and they're on fire, they don't follow you, they're curious about you. But God, I pray that your spirit would speak to them. And God, that they call all of us to reflect on your works. And God, to indeed take leaps of faith, recognizing you, all that you've done for us. So God, thank you for that. Thank you that you save. Thank you that you created. Thank you that you have redeemed. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.